This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Cincinnati Boy Choir is celebrating its 50th year. Later in the show, we'll talk about the organization and the music education it's provided to thousands of young men in the tri-state area. But first, being more tuned into your life allows you to get more out of it. In his new book, People Are Dying to Be Heard, A Guide to Listening for a Lifetime of Communication, six-time award-winning public radio broadcasting veteran Ben Maron shares his tips and insights to help you improve your listening skills at work, home, and play. Ben believes that if you learn to hear your world, hear your life, hear your moments, you can make a difference through that hearing in your life and the lives of others. He joins us to explore the art and skill of truly communicating. Ben, glad to have you here this afternoon.
Mark, pleasure to be back. Thanks so much.
You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ben, People Are Dying to Be Heard. That's a strong title for the book. Do you think that in today's world, with all the digital and technological noise we're surrounded by, that's truly the case?
Mark, not only is it truly the case, it's getting more and more true every day. As you well know, I came to this expertise as a listener, doing what you're doing now, hosting public radio call-in talk shows. And I did this for 20 years at Wisconsin Public Radio, 21 actually. And what I learned was, in part, that people would wait half an hour to get on the air and talk for a minute or two. And what I learned in part there was people had to be dying to be heard, crying out, if you will, because otherwise, why would they wait half an hour to be heard? They'd go talk to somebody. But the more we get connected to our texting, our tweeting, our posting, the less conversation we have. And I think people are crying out for it in many ways. And I think it's critical. And sadly enough, it's great customer service if you take the time to listen to somebody. It used to just be an expected part of the job.
Ben, you've experienced some pretty compelling stories in your 30 years as a journalist and hosting the talk show. What are some of the things that you've seen that tell you about the power of listening?
I had a man call a program who had been a Vietnam vet, and I was interviewing a man who works with vets. He's a psychologist out in New York at a place called Soldier's Heart. His name is Ed Tick. And this man called the show because we're talking about soldiers coming back from war and what society could or couldn't do to help them, or did or didn't do. This man called 30 years after the fact, and he started to weep. And it's one of the most memorable calls in the tens of thousands I took because it was such a powerful moment. He wept because of the men he'd killed in Vietnam and how it scarred him and the fact that he hadn't talked about it with anyone. And there was something about what we did then and what you do about the connectiveness of radio and with public broadcasting where you're not talking in sound bites. So we had a long conversation about soldiers and what they actually give up when they go to war and what's taken from them, from their soul. And this man felt compelled to call the program. And he said, I have never admitted this to anyone. And here he was talking to two strangers about what had basically encapsulated into his home in northern Wisconsin, almost imprisoned him because he felt so guilt-ridden. And he basically was a hermit. Nobody in the community really knew him. And I don't know what's happened to him to this day, but I know in that moment, we did something more than that text or tweet offered. We offered sort of human compassion, and this man, he was crying out for it.
Boy, in his case, he literally was dying to be heard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, there are people out there, wherever we go, who it doesn't take much. It could be a smile. It could be giving up 2 minutes to listen to what they have to say. I don't advocate you listen till, you've lost a day. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to give somebody a little time. And it also, I think, is critical that we all recognize we have a right to be heard. So it's okay to ask a friend or a spouse or a coworker to listen to you as well.
Yeah, Ben, it's interesting how you developed your passion for listening. Would you share that story with us?
How I developed it?
Yes, uh-huh. You were a teenager, weren't you? And this all came about from being injured, right?
Well, yeah, it's funny because I question you how I developed it because we develop it in pieces. But for me, I was a pretty
I guess
shy
it's better
kid.
To say, how did you get started on this?
Yeah, and basically the start came, I had popped a lower disc in my back water skiing, so I ended up having back surgery. I was 16. It was the summer of after my junior year in high school. And I spent the summer, because back then they didn't want your spine to move at all after the surgery. It's much different than today. So I spent the summer in a body cast. So I was in plaster from my shoulders to my knees. So my grade point average went up. I actually grew an inch and a half on the table when they straightened my spine. And I learned to sit really still. And, you know, especially at night when everyone was sleeping and, you know, I slept on and off throughout the day. So at 2 a.m. I'd be sitting there and basically listening to the cat purr who'd sit next to me. But the importance of listening then, and also something else I talk a lot about, Mark, is how to be present and live in the moment. I had two nurses who told me, you will get through this experience, Ben, a moment at a time. That's all you have to worry about. Mm. And you can get through a moment no matter how bad it felt. Because imagine being a teenage kid in the hospital, knowing you're looking at 4 months of what looked like prison, and wondering, how do you cope with that?
Oh, especially in the summertime. Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, we talk about, you know, I talk a lot about when you listen, sometimes just listening to the signs of nature. The weekend that seemingly was the hottest that summer was the same weekend our air conditioning unit went out. And my mom opened the windows just so we could get some air, and there wasn't much movement. But I remember hearing the initial rumbles of thunder. And we almost celebrated that night when the storm hit, because we heard the thunder and we saw the lightning and the rain hit. And my mom actually opened the front and back doors so we'd get cross home airflow. And she opened the front door because I could see out the door from the way the bed was positioned in my dining room. And I've never been more thrilled to hear a rainstorm in my life. But I remember hearing the process. It took, you know, all afternoon as the storm was building to hear the change of the wind patterns and the storm coming. So even just sometimes sitting and listening to the nature around us can be really beneficial. And again, if you're not paying attention to it, it happens anyway. You just miss it.
We're talking with Ben Marins. His new book is called People Are Dying to Be Heard, A Guide to Listening for a Lifetime of Communication. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ben, just how crucial is it to be a good listener, and what kind of benefits can you derive from it?
Well, you know, Mark, the way I look at it, and I'm 55, the older I get, the more I appreciate this. The more tuned in you are to yourself, and I think when we talk about listening, you have to listen to yourself every day first, and then those you meet along the way can be your spouse or your partner, your kids, your parents, your coworkers, and your customers, or just strangers. The more tuned in you are to those moments, the more you get out of it. Everybody has something to share with you if you're paying attention to it. One day, I was driving to work, and I was wondering, and actually said out loud, why am I going to work today? It was one of those days I was driving downtown, host talk radio, which, you know, great job. But even that great job every once in a while was something I didn't want to go. I wanted a day off, and I didn't take it. So I said out loud, why am I going to work today? And as I'm driving to work, a 20-minute ride down the highway, a lot of times we'll take that ride, and we barely see what's around us. And we actually say to somebody, you know, I don't even remember the ride to work today. On this day, I was paying attention. So I remember what the trees looked like and what the grass looked like. And a van passed me right after I asked the question, why am I going to work today? And the van's license plate read LUV, the number 4, and the name Ben.
Really?
So here I am wondering, why am I going to work? And on this license plate, and again, I don't get into the religious or spiritual aspects of this. I just don't believe it's an out-and-out coincidence. I just don't know how to explain it. The answer, love for Ben, came up, which is in part one of the reasons we broadcast. We want to be loved by our audience. But it was the fact that I asked the question on a road I'd driven for 18 years. I've never seen the license plate before. Had I not been paying attention to what's in front of me on this day, I would have missed it. And I, to this day, am shocked this all happened. But I would have missed it, not known it, had I not been paying attention. So that is critical just for my own self-awareness and the journey I'm on in my life. And then there is something we were talking before the program about the fact our daughter is a freshman in Pennsylvania at the university there and coming home in a couple of weeks. I haven't seen her in months. Well, every day she was in this house before she packed her bags and went to college was a chance for me to be present and share some of her life, or not be present and miss out with the idea, oh, I'll do it later, or the ball game's more important, or the bills are more important. It's nothing more important than the relationships we have, especially with those at our home. So being present for them is critical, because if you don't, your life comes and goes, and you don't get any of that time back.
Ben, you've had 30 years as a journalist, 21 years hosting a talk radio show, and what are some of the ideas and the techniques that you developed out of all those years that people can apply to their listening skills?
Two things I think are really critical, Mark. One is, when you're with somebody, you don't want to miss what they're saying, but you don't want to be a stenographer and take every word down. Learn to take cryptic notes. It only takes a couple words to trigger your memory, and it will help you if you're trying to make sure you don't miss something and you can question it later on. So I believe in cryptic note-taking. I like to do it with a pen and paper still, but you can easily do it with a note program or word program on your computer. And again, you don't have to write every word. And the other is something growing up in the Midwest I was taught was rude, and that's interrupting. But I talk about the role of interrupt with intention. So if you're at work and you're trying to make sure you understand a coworker or a boss's project and your role in it, and you say, let me interrupt you for a minute. I just want to state what I heard you just say and make sure I got it. That's respectful, because you're interrupting with intention. You're interrupting to make sure they know you heard what they had to say. If you interrupt, and this was the interruption we were raised to be told it was rude, if you interrupt, which shows you were paying no attention whatsoever, that's rude. But the rudeness isn't the interruption. It's the lack of being present to hear what somebody's been telling you. So I think the two things you can easily take away from this broadcast and work on starting this afternoon is, when you are getting information from somebody, to make sure that information from that person stays with you, take cryptic notes, and you can fill in the holes later. And interrupt with intention to show that you, A, are paying attention, and, B, to make sure that you understand things. Because the role of communication, which we do, you know, for decades, seemingly is, I speak, you listen. I listen, you speak. But it's, do I hear you? That's really the role of communication. And the way to practice good communication is to make sure that each of you, if there's two of you in a conversation, are every once in a while clarifying what the other said. Because what you say and what I hear are not always the same thing.
After the break, we'll continue our conversation with Ben Marins, and you can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guest this afternoon is public radio broadcasting veteran Ben Marins, now with the Vistalar Group, as we talk about his new book, People Are Dying to Be Heard. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ben, in your work with the Vistalar Group, you talk about verbal defense and influence. So how does that all fit into your advice about listening?
I appreciate you asking that, as my employer does too. But interestingly enough, Mark, when I hosted talk radio, I practiced verbal defense and influence every day, and I didn't know it because I didn't know what it was. And the Vistalar Group will be offering training. I just found out before the show, my boss let me know that there's a training class in Louisville in May. And if you go to Vistalar.com, if you're interested in learning about training for verbal defense and influence, it talks about it there. And at the heart of this training is that the key to conflict management, which is what verbal defense and influence is designed to help you do, is to listen to each other. At the heart of verbal defense and influence is the motto that we treat people with dignity in order to earn their respect. And there are five maxims that we teach, what we have our programs and our classes. The first is to listen to somebody. When you're trying to deal with them and there's either conflict, or you're trying to get them to buy into something you want them to do for you or with you, and this works at home and it works at work as well, the first maxim, listen to people with your heart, mind, and soul. Make sure that you hear what's coming out of their mouth. The second maxim is to ask them for your help or their help, and not tell them what you want them to do. Because if you ask somebody, you're treating them with respect, and you're going to get to the same place, which is to get your project or your goal accomplished. The third maxim in that is to give context, to explain the why. Human beings like to understand the why. If you explain the why, the doing of the act is a lot easier for most of us to accept. The fourth maxim is to offer options. So you give somebody the power to control how they do what you want done. As long as you get your goal accomplished, you really don't care. And then the fifth maxim is, to me, the most special and most human. It's to give people a second chance, because in a lot of time in conflict, we're mad something didn't happen right. And sometimes when we're new at something, especially when we're new at it, we make mistakes. So if you offer someone a second chance as opposed to say, oh, you didn't do it, forget it, I'll do it myself. Well, it's not very respectful, it's not very dignified, and the end result is you end up doing the work that you were trying to get somebody else to do. So when I was hosting on public radio, my job was to listen. My job was to ask people questions and draw them out. And there were times when I gave a caller a second chance because the caller was either not treating my guest politely or off topic or not getting to their question. And I would say, for instance, you know, I've got a news break in 2 minutes, so what I'd like you to do is ask your most important question first. And they say, well, I've got three questions and a follow-up. And then I said, hold on. Just ask your first question. If they did that, I've given them a second chance. If they don't do that, I explain, well, I'm going to miss my news break. I'm not allowed to miss my news break. I have to take you off the air. But I gave them the opportunity to be heard. I explained why I wanted them to do what I needed them to do. I gave them a second chance. So I was practicing this conflict management. I just didn't know it. And something I would do there that I want to mention to you is maybe the third tool for people to use as a takeaway. I would ask them, ask your most important question first. At the heart of that is prioritize what is most important to accomplish when you're communicating with somebody. So you and I are talking, and I've got some things I want to make sure I say. Well, I better make sure I get that in at the top, because we don't always finish the conversation, because sometimes we have a lot more to say than we have time to say it. So when we're in a meeting at work, or you're meeting with a friend over coffee, and you want to tell them about something, if the most important story is something you're saving for the end, think again. Get to that most important thing first, so it gets done. And the same thing when you're talking to your employees or your coworkers, you know, prioritize what's most important to respect their time and yours.
Yeah, Ben, we've all had the experience of talking to someone in customer service, and you just get the feeling that they're not really listening to you. So how do we apply this to the business world, to customer service in particular?
Well, when we talk about verbal defense and influence and connecting with somebody, we say, you know, there's a universal greeting. So, Mark, if you're the clerk at Target, so I walk in and Target, and I've got a broken phone, and I bought it there. So I walk up to you and say, hey, Mark, my name is Ben, and I'm a Target customer, and I've come to talk to you today about a phone I bought here last week, and it's not working. Do you have time to help me? What I've done there is I've identified who I am. What's my authority? My authority in that case is I'm a Target customer. What's my issue? I have a broken phone. And then at the heart of that is probably the most important of these, and that is I asked you a relevant question. Now, a relevant question could be, are you able to help me? Which is nice to ask somebody if they have time, because sometimes somebody answers the phone or says, can I help you at the store? And your problem may be bigger than they have time for right now. So you want to ask them about that. That relevant question allows them to engage with you. So are you somebody who can help me with this? And you at that point say, yeah, I can. Can you give me a minute? I'm just finishing up with this customer. Or actually, I don't deal with the phones, or I don't deal with returns, whatever you don't do, but here's how I can help you get this accomplished. Customer service is two doors over this way, or John back in phones can help you with this. So you have then engaged, you've shown you've heard me, and you've gotten me where I need to go. Either stay here, I'll help you, go to customer service, or go down the hall to John.
And Ben, when we're talking about listening, you're really talking about going way beyond what many of us refer to as active listening, right?
Yeah, I mean, active listening is not, people think of that as, I'm listening to you, you're speaking somewhere, yeah, Yeah, I guess that's activity. But you want to go beyond active listening in that you want to hear what somebody has to say. You want to look at their body language. I mean, if you are talking to me, you're working the store, and I walk in to return a phone, but it's clear to me that you're in discomfort. Maybe you've got a cold, all right? So I can see you're blowing your nose, your eyes are red, you look kind of tired. or maybe you've got a sprained ankle. Well, you know, acknowledging that is beyond the act of listening, and it's also allowing us to really communicate. If you're working and you've got a sprained ankle, and I don't acknowledge that, for you, that's probably the major focus of your day. It's new, you don't normally have it, and it's hindering everything you're used to doing when you don't have a sprained ankle. So it may be polite for me to say, wow, that looks like be rough. How are you holding up with the ankle? Or what happened? And you tell me. And then you say, by the way, how can I help you today? I said, well, again, I'm sorry about your ankle. I'm here because I just have a broken phone. It seems pretty small compared to your ankle, but, you know, it's my wife's phone. I kind of need to get it fixed. And you'd say, I understand that and appreciate your kind thoughts about my ankle. Now we're having a conversation like people as opposed to you work for me because you're the customer service guy at Target. Because you're not. You're a guy who has a life, and you happen to be working at Target. The dignity and respect is in acknowledging your humanness, and then also the fact that your daily toil may be to help people like me.
Ben, Mike sent us an email, and he wanted to know, in a situation where you know the person you're talking to isn't really hearing you, what can you do, especially if you need that person's help?
I'm a firm believer in, you know, being honest with them. So, you know, Mark, we've been talking for 10 minutes. I get the feeling you're not really focused.
I'm sorry, Ben. What did you say?
On what I'm saying. Yeah, right. And if I say that, I can. It's not. It can't. Again, the dignity and respect is. I don't attack you for it. I ask, is everything all right? He said, well, actually, Ben, you know, I got a call half an hour ago. My son may have broken his leg, and I'm waiting to find out if I have to go to the hospital. All right, well, that would explain to me why you're not listening to how I think we can move the pallets in the back of the factory to get them to the truck on time. Because obviously your kid having a potential broken leg is a little more important for you. I mean, there's a reason that you're not listening. And if it's your job to be having this conversation with me, if I pretend I don't see that, I just treat you rude or talk louder or, you know, ask, what did I just say? Well, yeah, if you're not listening and I know that and I say that to you, I'm just going to make you feel bad. That's not treating you with respect. So the answer is to address it. Say, is this a bad time? I'm not sure you're hearing what I'm saying. It's really important to me. But if this is a bad time for the conversation, and again, unless the conversation has to be had at this moment, to say, should we do this later, offer somebody the out in a dignified way.
So
it
Ben,
could be as simple as, you know what? I had more coffee than I thought this morning. I really need to use the washroom. Can I come back in a minute? Yeah, sure. You're not going to say no to that. Or maybe, you know what, I'm just really tired. There is a reason. And if you address that, again, you're treating people with that respect, and they will appreciate it.
So respect and dignity are probably the big key words for you, aren't they?
Yeah, because we want to feel like we count. And, you know, many of us have gone through our lives that we, you know, went through periods, you know, in high school or college where, you know, we weren't on the in crowd or we didn't feel like we were one of the top dogs, so to speak. We become adults, and, you know, that history doesn't go away. So if somebody doesn't treat you with dignity and respect, you can be thrust right back to a time where you just felt insecure. And it's funny, I meet adults now, and you can just tell by the way they hold their, again, it's beyond active listening, the way they hold up their head or they don't, the way their body language is or the way they speak, that, you know, their child inside is extremely insecure. And your role is to kind of help them feel secure, because nobody gets to be 40 or 50 or 60 years old without figuring out enough that they deserve your respect for the fact they're here and they've got an issue they want you to help them with.
Is there
so that dignity and respect is paramount, Mark.
Is there a difference between the listening, the type of listening you do at work, and then the type of listening that you do in your personal relationships?
You know, it's a great question in that you would think maybe there could be. There really shouldn't be. My wife deserves the same kind of attention and focus and respect as my boss. But we tend to be the most impatient with those we're closest to, and we're the hardest on those we're closest to. What I have learned to do with my wife in having practiced verbal defense and influence is to let her know when she wants to talk with me if there's a reason I can't hear her. You know, I'm really hungry. Let me just get some lunch and let's talk in 20 minutes. Because I would do that at work as opposed to try to fake it or be rude to her because she's my wife, so I can, you know, I can be gruff with her. I would never be gruff with somebody at work, so no, I shouldn't be gruff with her. And I don't think those roles change. I think it's an awareness that we are always having to be treating somebody with dignity and earning their respect, and that includes ourselves.
Ben, you bring up an interesting point in your book. You talk about hearing the unsaid. Now, what do you mean by that?
Mark, I had a Grandma Happy. Grandma Happy was a school teacher, very smart woman, went to school at the University of Chicago in the day when a lot of women didn't. And she would sit with me when I was visiting, and we'd sit on the couch, and we wouldn't say anything for 10 minutes at a time. And then she would ask me, what are you thinking? And I learned from that experience with her, and this happened repeatedly, that it's respectful to share silence with other people, and more respectful to, after you've shared the silence, ask them what they've been thinking about. It gives them a chance to feel validated as a human being who has thoughts and feelings. And if you get comfortable in silence with other people, you hear the unsaid. You, based on their body language, the looks they have, just the energy that's in the room. I was talking to somebody recently about the role of having a silent brainstorm session at work where the staff would sit, no phones, no computers, and the topic for the day may be, you know, how do we boost sales of our new widget? Well, before we speak, we spend 10 minutes in the room together silently thinking about it. And then we start sharing what everybody's been thinking about. And it allows us to hear the unsaid in ourselves and in others.
So, Ben, is learning how to listen, how to really hear, what kind of effect is that going to have on a person's life ultimately?
Well, Mark, for what you do and I did, it means your audience is going to be benefited by a better radio program with more information coming out that's of use to them. In your personal relationships, the intimacy you get from truly hearing another person is, it's hard to put a value on it, but it's amazingly important. There's nothing to me more valuable than offering somebody else your time and your attention, because you can't buy it. It's not available online or at Walmart. So you get more of a real experience in your life by being present for it and having true communication where you hear other people and they hear you. And when you break it down, somebody broke it down for me that our average lifespan of 80 years is 28,000 days or 4,000 weekends. And at age 55, I've got 1,200 Saturdays left if I'm lucky. Well, that's really valuable time. So I tell people, we don't want to waste it. So being present for it, for yourself and for other people, is to me the most important way, no matter what you do in this world, for it to have the most value you can give it.
Ben, it's been great talking with you.
Mark, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and appreciate your audience listening to this, because there is no more important act, I think, than listening to other people, in that every day you have a choice to do it or not do it, and every day you do it, you have the chance to make a difference in this world you'll never get again. And if you don't do it, you'll be making a difference, one that's not as significant.
Thanks, Ben.
Mark, be well. Have a good holiday.
You too. Public radio broadcasting veteran Ben Marins, now with the consulting and training organization Vistalar Group. His new book is called People Are Dying to Be Heard, A Guide to Listening for a Lifetime of Communication.